Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Hey, Kyle, how are you doing?
I am well. How about yourself?
I'm good. I missed you last week.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks.
Well, we didn't have a sermon the Sunday before, so
right.
We both needed a break for different reasons.
It's,
so we just took
true.
It. So
yeah.
Well, so it's good to be back.
It is. And it's been way too long. Two weeks ago now, almost, we had Jamie George.
Right.
And due to copyright reasons and whatnot, we didn't include any of his musical performance. And I realized after the fact I probably should have put a little something up just to say, you're not going crazy, you didn't miss an episode, we're taking the week off. And you were gone, and then I was gone, and now here we are again.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. It always feels like it's been too long, but when it's been 2 weeks, it's really been too long.
I appreciate that, and I enjoy it too. Well, today I want to really get into why Jesus said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And before the program's over, we want to answer that question because I know it's been a topic that's been debated over the years, and I had never had anybody say to me what was the heart of Jesus, or what Jesus was talking about. And just like everything else we've done with the Sermon on the Mount, it comes down to context and how Jesus is pushing, probing, to help us to see the heart of the matter. So we're going to answer that question before we're done today.
Fantastic.
I hope.
I think we'll gain some ground on it.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, would you like to open us in prayer?
Absolutely. Father, thank you for this privilege, and thank you for this time together that we have. And Lord, I just thank you for Kyle and the things you're doing in our relationship as we get to know each other better, and we enjoy this time. And so, Lord, we praise you, and we look forward to this, and we ask you that you would further your kingdom by this discussion of your word and your truth. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, I got to listen on the live stream on YouTube, just to kind of send that reminder out to folks, too, that is there. And You started right off with hearing somebody say behind you, "Now don't judge me," but which is usually a setup for a great story of one kind or another. But you talked about how we shouldn't judge folks, and you just kind of gave us the little teaser there, and it immediately sent my mind down a little rabbit trail of, well, now, I get it. I shouldn't judge people. It's not my place to judge folks. I should be accepting. I should be understanding. I don't know what all is going on in their life. And my brain just kept going back and forth to extremes of, well, I can't never judge someone, but I can't overjudge someone either. Like, they're... A wise man once told me that it all comes down to balance.
That's right. That's right. And I don't know how wise he is, but guilty as charged.
There you go.
Okay. You know, Kyle, I think a lot of this debate, and I've heard it my entire life, mm-hmm. I've heard that question about what is Jesus really meaning by that? And what's the difference between judgment and discernment and all those things? And when you get into the context of Matthew 7 and what Jesus is really getting to, then you understand, I think it helps you to find that balance, because it's very true that we have to make judgments every day.
Right.
You know, I'm coaching baseball. Use that for a great example. I've got 17, 18 kids on my team, and I have to evaluate their ability in relation to each other. And, you know, it's a stated principle of Kiowa Athletics that we're going to try and win the game at the varsity level.
Seems reasonable.
And that is a priority.
Right.
Now, I'm loving kids, but yet I'm going to try to win the game. So that means I'm going to put the best player for the best moment on the field according to my judgment.
Right.
Now, I may seek the opinion, and I do seek the opinion of my assistant coaches. But the fact is, we have to make a judgment call. And you can use that word in that sense, and it's actually expected. That's, you know, my other coaches will say, well, that's, you make the call, because you, that's why they pay you the big bucks.
That's right.
Ha ha. Yeah. Big bucks. Yeah. We know that's not so.
Yep.
But anyway, that is reality of life, and it's true with a coach for a team. It's true for a manager at a company. It's true for anybody that has authority over anybody else. It's also true the other direction, because if you're going to be involved with a company, if you're going to be involved with a church, you have to make a judgment. Is this something I want to be affiliated with? And so you're going to have to evaluate, and according to how your evaluation comes out, then you make a judgment and you make a decision.
Well, and so I'll throw what I think is a relevant word in there, a related word is discrimination, mm-hmm. which has been a big topic for the last, 150 years in this country. But it's not bad. Like, I want my daughter to discriminate against every boy in the world, and I should probably, I can stop right there, actually, except for, you know, whoever she's intended to marry. I want her to discriminate. I want my son to do the same thing. And I've had lots of job interviews, as you said, you know, that I haven't gotten hired for. They discriminated against me for one reason or another. So I feel like, again, we kind of go overboard on the zero tolerance, as it were. But do we go overboard on the other side of things too, of judging people for things that we, is it contextual? Maybe that's my question.
Well, I think we've got to throw another word in the mix.
Okay.
And that word is discernment.
Yes.
And you see, the word discriminate in our culture means to hate somebody for something that they have no control over.
Okay.
I mean, that's what a lot of people hear.
Yeah.
That's not the whole definition. But, you know, you can be a discriminating person, which means you are making a rational decision based on the facts you see, mm-hmm. right? And you make a decision not to participate or to get into a relationship with that person.
Right.
And so you're discriminating. Our issue is you shouldn't discriminate based on creed or color, okay, or things that we have no control over.
Right.
Okay. So that's very true. But that word, that second or third word, I guess, between judge and now discriminate and discernment, discerning means we're evaluating the facts, and based on core values and principles, then we're going to make a decision and try to really understand what's going on with the situation or the person that we're dealing with. That's very important. And we're gonna. And when we got into the message, we see why that's so important.
So is that? I don't feel like a job interview though was what Jesus was talking about in the sermon.
No, No. I mean, he uses the analogy, and I tried to really camp out on this, of somebody having something in their eye.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the heart of this message, and why understanding that is to understand what Jesus really meant by judge not, lest you be judged. He wasn't saying that you don't judge, period. He was saying be careful about the way you judge. And because here's a fact. If I've got something in my eye, I need help. Now, there's been a few times that I got it to move out by myself. But if something right. truly is stuck in my eye, I can't do that by myself. And you know what? After it hurts for a few minutes, I won't help.
Well, is it... And I think contextually, too, and we've talked about the Pharisees a fair bit, and like those guys, they were very judgmental.
Oh, absolutely.
They judged every single person and felt themselves to be above everyone else.
And that's an issue of pride, and you're spot yeah. on.
And that's Jesus saying, hey, you Pharisees. Which is funny with the speck in the eye, and in another speech he called, or another, yeah, it was a speech, I guess, at that time, referred to the Pharisees as blind guys.
Right.
But saying, don't judge, and this is where I think we all need to be aware of this, is it's okay to judge people a little bit, maybe, but we also need to be aware that we're fallible too.
Well, and that's the heart principle here.
Yeah.
They thought they were so good and so perfect,
mm-hmm.
they had lost sight of the fact that someday they were going to stand before God and give an account of their lives. And, you know, as always, Jesus is heading to the bottom line, and that is our hearts are desperately wicked. We are sinners at our core. We are prone to self and selfishness and to pride.
Mm-hmm.
And he is trying to get us to understand our need for the remedy. So now, this sermon Sunday, we tried to address it more to believers. And here's why. There is a verse here, and I'll go down in. We started with verse 1, obviously, but he said, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, in my sermon, I talked about there's something that's an assumption that's being made with that statement. My whole life, I've read that as, don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye. Take care of what's in your eye. And I've made it a self-focus. But the assumption is that when my brother's got something in his eye, I should have compassion in my heart, and I got to get it out. I've got to help him however I can get that speck out of his eye. And that's just like Jesus. He was always trying to get us to see the needs of other people like he saw our need when he died on the cross. And so when we have a heart that says, I want to help my brother because he's hurting, for whatever reason, but it may be because he's messed up. It may be because somebody else did something to him, but he's in pain. He's got something in his eye. Help him. And Jesus is saying, you can't do that if you've got a plank in your eye. And you know why? It's because you'll be prejudiced. You'll go into the situation having your mind already made up about this person's guilt, about the problem that they've got and why they've got it. If you have a prejudice in your mind about that issue, it will cloud your thinking and make it impossible for you to have true discernment as to how to help your brother, because you've already got your mind made up.
Because you've got to be able to see clearly.
Yeah. He says, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck. He is assuming that we are going to do what it takes to see clearly to help our brother.
Which is probably a big assumption, but...
Well, I could tell you a miracle that happened to me last Saturday and Sunday. where, in as I was preparing for this sermon, you know, God always works on my heart for a week before I say it to the people. And last Saturday, I had an opportunity where I was going to be in a situation where I was trying to give God's wisdom to somebody. Okay, notice I didn't use the C word, counseling.
Yes, I
was trying to help them with something, and I knew I was going to be in that situation the next day. And Deb and I got down on our knees because we had some decisions to make about that, how we were going to approach that time when we're talking to these people. And we were doing it together. And so we got on our knees together, and we asked God to get to remove any prejudice in our minds about that particular issue. Mm. And to help us to see that couple that we were talking to from his point of view. And then we asked him that he would give us wisdom as to what we should say. We picked up the phone after we did that and invited those people to come eat lunch with us the next day. And they enthusiastically said yes. Little to our knowledge, God had already answered our prayer, and they had made a decision which made what we did the next day perfectly obvious from the Word of God. And it became a time of celebration and validation for both them and Deb and I, because God answered this prayer that we had just prayed, and we had gotten any planks out of our eyes so we would be clear to see their situation from God's point of view.
I'm gonna mess this up, but I recently was listening to another podcast, and the gentleman on there was talking about having a kind of a heated discussion, strangely enough, about a topic we discussed before we started recording today, with someone, and they said, well, what about suicide? And he tried to divert the conversation, be like, you know, you're asking the wrong thing here, because he's like, I know this is going to be a hot button thing. I know he's trying to set me up for something here in this debate, as it were, this exchange. And he diverted, he kind of moved around it and kept going in a different direction. And somebody asked him afterwards, do you know why that guy asked you that question? He's like, no, I figured he's just trying to hang me up, you know, and put me in a bad spot and get me to say something that wouldn't be liked. They said, well, no. His wife committed suicide last year. He said it was in that moment that he realized, I missed an opportunity to say, why are you asking? And maybe even help the guy. But because he had that plank in his eye of, this guy in a public setting is going to try and set me up, he missed an opportunity.
Amen. You hit it, bro. I mean, you hit the nail on the head right there. And that goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not only was that a missed opportunity, but sometimes if you have the plank in your eye, you walk into a trap. And the thing that rocked my world when I was studying Matthew 7, 1 through 12 was verse 6. Right in the middle of him saying, do not judge not lest you be judged, and teaching about getting the plank out of your eye, Jesus said, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, or trample you under their feet, and turn and tear you in pieces. You see, when you are taking responsibility to try and care about people, there's two or three different kinds of people that you deal with. You deal with people that really are looking for God's answers and want help.
They're genuine.
And they may not even know that it's God that they need help from, but they're looking for whatever they can get to find help, okay? Then there's people that are just playing a game with you, and they have no intention of changing. They're trying to manipulate you. And then there are people that just need to be needy. They're looking for attention. The second group are the ones that will rend you. They're the ones like this guy was concerned about. But because he wasn't discerning and he didn't ask a simple question to verify that, he missed a moment. Mm-hmm. And that was because he had a predisposed prejudice that this guy was trying to get him. Instead of saying...
Which may have been valid.
Well, it may have. But
he
you know,
still missed
you,
that
but
opportunity.
Still giving somebody the opportunity to say, why do you ask that?
Yeah.
Is there a pain in your life?
Yeah.
And it will diffuse this. If they're trying to get you, mm-hmm. then, you know, they may not be honest, but they won't give you...
Well, and that's having a more appropriate heart about things.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not playing defense. I'm not playing offense. I'm being concerned. I'm being a caring person.
Right.
And man, that's hard to do sometimes, you know, because you go into, like, he's going into this guy's going into this situation. You know, it was Nick Freitas, in case anybody wants to look him up. He's the guy who was telling the story. And he's a political figure, and he expects to be attacked in that manner. Mm-hmm. And so, and it was probably reasonable, but you don't go into those situations oftentimes saying, I'm going to be setting yourself up, saying, I'm going to try and be the most caring person I can.
And, you know, that's just not the way of the world.
Yeah.
But it is the way of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember this. Jesus looked at the rich young ruler who he knew was not going to change. He knew that he had a God that he was not willing to quit worshiping. And that was money, mm-hmm. his riches. And Jesus said, okay, go sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Now, does Jesus require that everybody that follows him to go sell everything they've got and give it to the poor?
He didn't ask it of Matthew.
He doesn't ask it. He asked it of the rich young ruler because he was testing him.
That was the plank in his eye.
That was the plank in his eye. That was, or the speck in his eye. It was his idol.
Yeah.
And Jesus knew, I mean, the rich young ruler had made a statement that he had kept the law perfectly from a youth. No, he hadn't. Because what's the first commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to have no other gods before me. And so Jesus exposed him mm-hmm. that he did have another God that he was not willing to put before Almighty God, and that was the God of money.
I want to back up to that verse and ask you to explain so that I understand the context and I understand what we're saying. The casting pearls before swine. What does that mean? Because it paints a, I mean, it's a great word picture, but I mean, is that, what is that? Is that me trying to go to that person who's trying to attack me? And
okay, well let's dig into the analogy a little bit. Have you ever fed hogs before?
Not directly.
I have.
Okay.
And when you feed hogs, you throw it in the trough, and get out of the way.
Right.
I mean, they don't discern what they're eating.
There's a reason we talk about eating like a pig.
That's right. They just, you know, yeah. I mean, they are eating it so fast and so aggressively, you could literally throw rocks in there and they would eat them. Now, I mean, you could make it all rocks, but if you mixed them in, they would eat them. Okay.
Right.
All right. So when you cast a pearl before the swine, he has given this analogy that all they're interested is in consuming you. And when it says they'll rend and tear you, there is an evil that's about that. And so when Jesus said, don't cast it, there are people that come to you that are desperate and that need help and want help.
Mm-hmm.
But the swine is not interested in real help. They're interested in consuming. They're interested in
So what are the pearls? I mean, is this don't put yourself, your valuable side of yourself out there too much? Like,
I've always taken it to be something similar to this, and this is not perfect, but similar to this. Don't waste your time.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a valuable thing.
You know, time is really precious to all of us. Mm-hmm. It's especially precious with me with working two jobs here.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and the older we get, the more precious it gets, right?
Well, the less we've got.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as
ahead of
us, you can see the finish line somewhere down there. You know, it's a lot more visible to me now than it was when I was your age. But the fact is that my time is precious,
mm-hmm.
and my energy is precious.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just my time. It is the reserves that I have. And so if I've got somebody that's just trying to steal my time, and there was a person, I won't even say what gender they were, but there was a person that came regularly to talk to me a few years ago. Just show up at my office, and they would not even knock sometimes, just come busting in the office.
Mm.
My secretary didn't like them very much, but they were so forceful in such a tornado that when they came through, you know, and I knew this person was a little bit unusual, and I just tried to be caring and tolerate it, and they would come in and plop down on my couch and talk for a while. I'll go ahead and say it was a man. That way nobody thinks I was doing something inappropriate. And they would sit there for a while, and, you know, over the course of time, nothing was changing. It wasn't like they were chit-chatting. They always had this major crisis that they wanted help with.
Mm. Okay.
And then one day, our assistant pastor, he went to him, and he said, okay, I'll be glad to help you with your issues. There's this test that I ask everybody that I help them with their issues. I ask you to take it online. It'll take you 3 or 4 hours to do the test. When you finish that test, come back and I'll help you. And we never saw him again. And then I found out later, every week he was making the rounds to 4 different pastors.
Wow.
So he was literally stealing an hour from every one of those pastors every week. And when he was given an opportunity to do something that really could have promoted change in his life, he was unwilling. That is casting your pearl before the swine. And not that that man is a swine. He's a human being. Jesus wasn't saying that. He was just saying somebody that is not interested in change. All they want to do is get fatter.
They just want to consume your time.
Yep, that's stealing.
Yeah.
And so they were stealing. This man was stealing my time. And the thing is, I was letting him. And Jesus said, if you've got a plank in your eye, you can't see that. So not only can you not see the problem of people that really need help, clearly, because of your prejudice, sometimes you can't see what this person's doing because you're doing this out of a sense of guilt. I've had people that I felt guilty to say no to that were doing the same thing. They were trying to use me. And listen, if you want help, my office door is open. I will sacrifice my time to help you. But if you are coming to put a notch in your gun belt or to just, you don't have any interest, any real interest in changing.
Feed your ego or something, yeah.
I may give you one or two shots at it, but when I realize that, I'm going to say, hey, you know, when you really want to fix it, come back.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, there's other people that I need to be working with, okay?
So, I like that. I like the don't waste your time on people. I think there's probably some other analogies that can go well with that.
And by the way, I would also, let me make sure everybody understands this. I'm always going to err on the side of compassion.
Well, and that's kind of where I was thinking of going next with this is, I feel like that can go to another extreme though of walling myself up and never helping anyone because it's not worth wasting my time.
Right.
And you don't, I think maybe giving somebody the benefit of the doubt at first.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's the balance there. Yeah.
And here's something else that's kind of neat. There've been several people that I've looked them in the eye and said something really tough. I'm just going to shoot straight with you, blah, 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 you know, and I just really hit them hard with the truth. And they look at you, it's like that person that's out of control and you slap them in the face and suddenly they go, thank you, I needed that.
Okay.
Yep. And sometimes that sharp challenge is the proverbial, underlying proverbial, slap in the face that snaps them out of it, and they go, you're exactly right. And I respect you for saying that. Now what do I have to do to fix it? So when we, at compassion, has that discernment of when you say something really tough and when you say something really gently,
mm-hmm.
or you don't say anything at all. And I've been in all three places where they were all three appropriate.
Yep.
Sometimes you just need to listen. Sometimes you need to say, oh my goodness, I am so sorry. And other times you need to say, suck it up, dude.
Yeah.
You're just whining, you know.
Yeah, and I think I've been in similar situations too. I want to help folks. Sometimes somebody says, yes, I'd like that help, and then they never do anything with it. Sometimes folks just seem to want to suck your time away from you, but they're not serious about it. They just want you to give them some magical formula or potion or something and fix all their... And maybe they don't even want that. They just want to gripe about their problem or right. whatever. Somebody, the professional victims amongst our population.
Well, there is one other analogy, too. And this actually was happening back when I was pastoring in Arkansas. There was a, quote, family. I got air quotes going on here.
Okay.
That had a child, and they were coming to pastors, and they would ask him to counsel their child. And then, and this actually went to court, okay? And then the child would leave there after a session or two and go accuse the pastor of inappropriate behavior.
No goodness.
And now they were suing the pastor for damages. So it was a con man setup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's casting your pearls before the swine.
Oh, man, yeah.
And that, so there are swine that will rend you and try to kill you.
That's a hard one to pick out, you know, people who are basically professionals at that. That's
well, and that's why you have to have discernment.
Right.
And yep. I can tell you there was a situation I got into one day, and my wife says, John, don't you ever be involved with that again. And come to find out what she warned me about happened to somebody else 2 years later. And just a pure warning from my wife. So the whole point is we do have to make discerning decisions yep. sometimes. And those decisions can take us into more compassion. Compassion's always appropriate. But sometimes compassion is no.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true too. Because, you know, We look no further than our children. You can't always give them everything they want.
Well, and no is what's going to help them grow.
Right.
No may be what snaps them out of it.
Yeah. They don't grow if everything's just handed to them.
That's right. Sometimes they have to learn to think for themselves.
So on that thought, kind of looking back at our beginning here then, of Jesus telling us to not be judgmental. We've kind of gone back and forth on it's good, it's not good, it's good, it's not good. It has to be appropriate.
Well,
our heart has to be in the right place. I mean,
we can go.
Let's face it, everything's going to come down to our heart having to be in the right place.
Right. Okay. The reason Jesus said this is found in the fact that He expects us to be people that are going to be compassionate and try and help other people. And then He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. What is that you're seeking for? What is that you're asking for? What is it that you're looking for? In this case, in this scenario, you're asking for discernment, His discernment, His wisdom. And you say, Pastor John, how do you know that? Well, look at the last verse, verse 12. He said, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, and that word too could be translated also for you. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want men to do for you, do also for them. This is the law and the prophets. What was the law and the prophets? The law and the prophets, Jesus was asked that question. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, you can sum it all up in this one thing. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Love says, when Kyle's hurting and he's got a speck in his eye, mm-hmm. I'm going to get involved and I'm going to try and help you. And so the asking is asking for that discernment. It is asking for that wisdom. It is asking God to show you the plank in your eye. And man, you get two benefits. Not only do you get to help somebody, but you get to see your own stuff. Mm-hmm. And say, oh my goodness, I've let this prejudice grow in my life. I've gotten bitter about this subject.
Well, yeah, I feel like I keep coming back to that too, of I've got to make sure I start with me.
Absolutely.
I got to fix me as best I can before I try to go fix the whole rest of the world.
I think me and you may have talked about this, but I know we both experienced it. Have you ever heard the statement made that the person who learns the most in a classroom setting is the teacher?
Yes.
And anybody so that's true. Ever taught knows that. I mean, I learned more about Matthew 7, 1 through mm-hmm. 12 as I was studying last week than I possibly could say in a 45-minute or 40-minute message, however long I spoke.
Yeah.
It was life-changing for me as it renewed my mind to old principles and helped me to see new things, okay?
Well, yeah, because I'm guessing this last week probably wasn't the first time you've read that chapter.
No, I've read it many, and I've even tried to preach on it before.
But now you've had some fresh eyes.
I saw it from a very different, deeper point of view when I was reading in the context of this sermon and what Jesus was talking about. And I've never really preached through the whole Sermon on the Mount in one series like we have this time. It's been life-changing for me.
Fantastic.
To see that. And so, you know, we get to the therefore. That's why Jesus said all these things. He's saying, the reason I told you that you've got to learn that you're going to be judged someday, that you got to get the plank out of your eye, that you are called to help your brother, that all you got to do is ask me for help. Therefore, the reason I said that is because it is your calling, it is your responsibility to love your brother, to love your God and love your brother and help him with the speck in his eye.
Well, that's
the bottom line.
That's it right there.
Yeah. Amen.
What do we have to look forward to this next? I'm guessing we're going to be finishing up the Sermon on the Mount.
We're going to be finishing up. And, you know, there have been times in my ministry that people have accused me of talking about people's need for salvation too much. Hmm. And you know, some folks say that's shallow preaching when all you do is preach on salvation, which that's not all I do, obviously. What we're talking about here was not all about salvation. It was about repentance, you know, and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But as Jesus closes out the Sermon on the Mount, he's going to tell us what the right way to heaven is, the only way to heaven is, the only way of salvation. And Kyle, I'll be frank, if somebody wants to go read it, verses 21 through 23 of Matthew 7 scare me to death.
All right.
And I would challenge you to read that before Sunday. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Okay. they terrify me because I know far too many people that play the game of church and don't really know the Lord.
I think we'll need to try and remember that playing the game of church thing for next week. I think that might make an interesting conversation as well.
All right, bro.
Well, fantastic.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate all you do, bro.
Yep, and we'll see everybody next week.
All right.